The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Wednesday, November 17th. We'll explain severe threats that have forced thousands of people to evacuate. Wildfires, flooding, and mudslides are devastating parts of the U.S. and Canada. Also, the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic seems to have shifted again. Now some places are reopening for the first time, just as others add more restrictions. Plus, why more doctors could start prescribing virtual reality. How the United Nations is challenging the richest person in the world. And what to expect from this year's famous New Year's Eve celebration in New York City. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The Rocky Mountain region of the United States is dealing with another rash of wildfires this week. People have had to evacuate in Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado. And strong winds have only made these fires more dangerous. In parts of Wyoming, wind gusts have topped 100 miles an hour this week, and at least one person died from the fire there so far. Many more people and homes are threatened. One wildfire that just started yesterday is now bearing down on a Colorado resort town. Authorities think an issue with power lines sparked the fire in Estes Park, about 90 miles from Denver. But fire crews have kept trying to fight it all night and into the morning. Meanwhile, parts of the Pacific Northwest and Canada are dealing with the opposite problem. People there have been getting heavy rains, flooding, and mudslides this week, and thousands have had to leave their homes. That hasn't been easy, though, since a lot of roads are closed. Hundreds of people ended up getting stuck on highways in British Columbia. Helicopters had to come rescue them. Flooding also forced the closure of the Trans Mountain pipeline that takes crude from Alberta to the Pacific coast, and it prompted a major roadway connection between the U.S. and Canada to shut down in both directions. The Washington National Guard has been put on alert to help anyone who needs assistance. This severe weather comes after weeks of wildfires in the same area. Authorities say that's actually part of the problem. Places with a lot of fire damage are more susceptible to streams of rushing mud during heavy rains. The trees and brush that had burned typically had kept the dirt and mud in place. Still, the heavy rain has been the biggest issue. November is typically the wettest month for that region, but Canadian meteorologists say they've seen more rain in just a day than what usually falls in the entire month. And more rain is expected to fall later this week. A migrant crisis in Eastern Europe seems to be getting even worse. For weeks now, thousands of migrants, mostly from the Middle East, have been stranded at the border between Poland and Belarus in terrible conditions. Well, this week, many of them got violent. They tried crossing into Poland, throwing stones and other objects at the forces guarding the border. So Polish authorities responded with water cannons and tear gas to push the migrants back, all while Belarusian forces stood by and watched. Now remember, the European Union accuses Belarus of actually encouraging the migrants to cross the border to purposely cause a crisis. The EU thinks it's retaliation for economic sanctions imposed on Belarus last year. So a couple days ago, the EU agreed to impose even more sanctions against Belarus, and it'll release specifics later this week. Still, Belarus says the real issue is the EU keeping migrants out. Even when migrants do make it into Poland, they're often deported, even if they claim asylum, despite criticism from human rights groups. Most of the migrants are fleeing conflict, poverty, and instability in the Middle East and elsewhere. To be continued. Europe is really starting to push more people to get vaccinated against COVID-19 now that it's seeing another virus surge across the continent. Starting this week, Austria went into a lockdown, but people who have their shots don't have to abide by it. Unvaccinated people are only allowed to leave their homes for work, school, food shopping, or emergencies. Then there's Germany. Their unvaccinated people will need to test negative for COVID-19 before they get on any buses or trains. And in Italy, people need to either get vaccinated or test negative for COVID-19 quite often to go to work anywhere in the country. This all comes in response to the latest wave of outbreaks. Last week, Europe made up more than half of new COVID-19 cases around the world and about half of the latest deaths. But further east, COVID-19 outbreaks are easing up in Asia. So now India says it's going to let vaccinated foreign visitors into the country for the first time in 20 months. Thailand also reopened to international tourists recently, as did Cambodia and Indonesia's Bali. It's another step that could revolutionize the fight against COVID-19 in the U.S. This week, Pfizer became the second drug maker to ask the FDA to authorize a pill to treat COVID-19. Merck applied for the same authorization last month for a different COVID-19 pill. And unlike other treatment options out there, these pills could be available in pharmacies and just taken at home. Both options are geared toward older people or those who have obesity or medical conditions that put them at a high risk of getting very sick from COVID-19. But really, it's going to be up to the FDA to say exactly who could be eligible to get them. Both pills are meant to be given soon after COVID-19 symptoms pop up over the course of 5 days. In trials, the Merck option lowered hospitalizations by 50% and prevented deaths entirely. The Pfizer pills lowered hospitalizations by 89% and also prevented all deaths. But neither company has released information about potential side effects. So doctors and medical experts need to review these trial results and weigh the risks and benefits before deciding whether to put the drugs on the market. If everything looks good, the first one could come out as soon as next month. More news is just ahead, but first, a quick break to thank our sponsor. When was the last time you thought about your mental health? I think it's so important to talk about because our mental health is just as important as our physical health. When anything, even temporarily, might be interfering with your happiness, why not address it? There may be even things you don't realize are getting in your way. So big or small, BetterHelp wants to help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist to help you figure out what's going on. And I love that you can message your therapist anytime. And of course, you can set up phone or video calls to really get the full benefit of BetterHelp. They have counselors who are specialized in stress, anxiety, grief, relationships, and much more. And if you're ever not happy with your counselor, just change counselors anytime until you find the right fit. And you always connect in a private online environment. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. There's now a new prescription treatment option for chronic back pain. It's virtual reality. The FDA authorized a therapy called EaseVRX that is meant to help with breathing exercises. It treats pain through relaxation, distraction, and helping people recognize and understand their own thought patterns and emotions. The system includes a VR headset, controller, and a breathing amplifier, which directs the user's breath toward the headset's microphone. A study found that 2/3 of the people with chronic low back pain who used this virtual reality option had less pain because of the treatment. It also found the benefits lasted longer when compared to the control group. This is the latest, but not the first, VR treatment to get the FDA's okay. For example, another one was approved to treat a visual disorder in children. A new study found coffee and tea may be linked to a lower risk of stroke and dementia. This was the largest study of its kind. Hundreds of thousands of people, ages 50 to 74, were followed for 11 years. Researchers found those who drank 2 to 3 cups of coffee or 3 to 5 cups of tea a day fared the best. They had a 32% lower risk of having a stroke and a 28% lower risk of getting dementia as compared to people who did not drink either tea or coffee. But more is not always better. Researchers found people who drank 7 to 8 cups a day were at a higher risk of a stroke than people who didn't drink any. All this said, researchers say this only shows a potential link between drinking coffee and tea and avoiding stroke and dementia. It doesn't necessarily mean there's a biological change that happens that can definitely protect people. Experts still say age, genetics, and lifestyle have the biggest effect on brains. The world's wealthiest man, Elon Musk, tweeted that he would donate $6 billion right now if the United Nations World Food Program could detail how it would use the money to, quote, solve world hunger. Now, in what The Hill referred to as the UN calling the billionaire's bluff, the World Food Program did, in fact, release a plan. The breakdown shows how $6.6 billion would be used to save 42 million people from famine in 2022. This social media back and forth actually began last month when the WFP first called on Musk to donate 4% of his net worth. At this point, it's not clear if Musk has seen this latest plan. Musk did recently sell more than $6 billion worth of Tesla stock. But remember, he had already promised to sell 10% of his Tesla stake because a Twitter poll told him to. At this point, he's halfway there. TBD, though, if he decides to donate any of the money to the UN's World Food Program. New government data shows Americans are still spending money despite inflation and the higher prices that come with it. The U.S. Commerce Department reports retail sales jumped in October for the third straight month. And yes, the rising cost of pretty much everything contributed to the higher numbers, but spending was even more than economists predicted. Even when adjusted for inflation, retail sales are up. The new numbers are a sign holiday sales could be up this season, too. Many shoppers are aware of the global supply chain issues, so they may have already started their holiday shopping. One of the last paintings legendary artist Frida Kahlo ever created broke new records this week. Her self-portrait, called Diego y Yo, sold for almost $35 million at auction. That's the highest price ever paid for Latin American art. The painting shows a teary-eyed Kahlo with a portrait of her husband, Diego Rivera, on her forehead. She is now widely regarded as one of the greatest painters of the 20th century, who was made famous for her intimate self-portraits and for promoting indigenous Mexican culture through art. It seems the largest and most famous New Year's Eve celebration in the U.S. is back on. There's a plan now to allow hundreds of thousands of people to once again gather in person in New York City's Times Square. Last year, crowds were not allowed in Times Square at all. The ball-dropping celebration was virtual only. But this year, Mayor Bill de Blasio says anyone who is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 is invited, with no cap on the crowd. The only exceptions are for kids younger than 5, since they're not yet eligible for the vaccine, and for those who have a valid medical reason, though they'll still have to show proof of a negative COVID test. As always, if you won't be there in person this year, you can still join in on the countdown from home by watching live on TV or online. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. And today we're talking about which country just made it illegal for bosses to contact employees outside of working hours. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. I'm always so excited to talk about KiwiCo because we love it in our family. It makes learning fun for kids and takes the pressure off the parents to figure out what to buy that's going to keep your child busy, happy, and challenged. KiwiCo crates will cultivate your child's natural creativity and curiosity with new science, art, and geography projects delivered to your door every month. From discovering the science of magic to engineering a domino machine and more. My son Dax is a bit too young still for all of that, but we still love getting our KiwiCo crates with toys and activities that are perfect for his age and his development. And really, now is the perfect time to talk about KiwiCo, because you can also give a KiwiCo subscription as a gift, and it'll keep on giving with hands-on learning all year long. So this holiday, don't just teach kids how to buy, teach them how to build. Get 50% off your first month, plus free shipping on any crate line with code NEWSWORTHY at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KIWICO, KiwiCo.com with the promo code NEWSWORTHY. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. Portugal has now said bosses who reach out to their employees outside of working hours are breaking the law. Yep, no calling, emailing, or texting allowed once the workday is over or before it starts. The new labor laws are being dubbed right to rest. It applies to companies in the country with more than 10 staff members. And if bosses reach out to employees while they're not contracted to be working, except in cases of rare emergencies, the companies could face fines. The new laws don't stop there either. In jobs where remote work is possible, staff with children are allowed to work from home without getting prior permission until their child turns 8. And companies are expected to pitch in to help pay for any employees' work-from-home expenses like electricity and internet. And the list goes on. Portugal has been led by a socialist government for 6 years. The new laws were passed after more people began working remotely because of the pandemic. All right, thank you so much for listening today and joining us as part of your daily routine. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. All backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.